This is probably my worst parenting moment. I'm so frustrated and I just yell like, oh my goodness. And I kick the wall with my foot and my foot is now stuck in the drywall with this big hole in the wall. I feel instant shame, remorse, guilt of how could a Christian mom even, a Jesus follower, kick a hole in the wall in front of her three kids.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
So I saw a recent blog from our friend Tim Challies. Remember Tim? We had him on. He's from Toronto,
sure.
Pastor, author. And the title of the blog, you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
It's something I want to talk about today about our home, the Wilson marriage.
Okay.
You are who you are at home. What do you think when you hear that title?
I think that can be incredibly convicting.
Why?
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question.
No. You can't go there.
In our marriage, 45 years, when do you feel like you have been the worst in our home in comparison to outside the home? What stage of life were we in?
Oh, easy. When we had little kids, babies, toddlers, probably all the way up to about 8 years old for me.
What do you think our church...
I didn't consider them humans till they were eight.
What do you think our church would have thought if they saw us at our home parenting when we are totally under stress?
They probably would have thought we're not Christians. What do you think?
I think they would have thought, you too? Like, you struggle too? Man, this is a convicting thought, isn't it?
It obviously isn't just that season of life. And even if you're not a parent or single, still who we are at home in some ways is who we really are. In fact,
it's the
character
best
is who we are when no one's looking.
Yes.
And this blog was interesting because it was like, nah, no one's looking. Your family's watching. So who you are when your family's around is really who you are.
And it's the most important place. The family is where we want to be our best. And sometimes we aren't, but we are the truest of ourselves.
Let me read a quote that Tim wrote in this blog. He says, true character is not just who you are when you're alone, but also who we are when we are seen by those who know us best, our family. As potential church leaders or as believers, it's essential to cultivate a character that's strong, genuine, and consistent both in public and in private. That's the big idea, this whole thought.
It's so good. I forget how old our kids were, maybe elementary school age, when somebody, like I was on them about something and everybody was arguing. And then I went to the door because somebody rang the doorbell. I'm like, oh, hey. And our kids were like, how can you be like that when somebody comes to the door, but then you can be so mean to us? And it was true.
So what's the answer? Why? I'm going to ask you a question. Why?
I think that is the question of why do we allow ourselves to just kind of fake it with somebody we don't even know because we care what they think about us. But the people we should care about the most are living under our roof and we don't fake it there, which is good. We shouldn't, but it is a true reflection of our character. I feel like it's a true reflection of how we're doing with Jesus. Because when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and patience, just those alone, if we're walking with Jesus, that should just be a byproduct of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but that's so hard when you got a four-year-old who has no love, joy, peace, patience. They're screaming and yelling.
But they're looking to us to be the example of it.
So how do we do it when we have that going on?
Don't ask me this. You answer it.
Well, let's talk about the time I crawled in bed and you said, I wish the man that led our church lived here. Tell that story.
I watch you at church. You're amazing. Like, you're passionate. You're passionate. You have all this charisma. You're a leader. You're leading strong. You pray with conviction. And I'm just like, look at him up there. And then at the dinner table, I think it was that night. I remember.
Do we have to be this honest?
I remember saying, "Hun, are you going to pray?" And you're like, "You just pray." And I was like, that's why I said it. Like, why can't that guy at church live here? What did you think when I said it?
Well,
you were so mad at me.
I mean, I honestly, you remember my response. It was really good. Talk about you are who you are when you're at home. I revealed my pride and selfishness by jumping out of bed and standing over the bed and yelling something to the effect that I know many of the husbands in our church, and the best one in our whole church is standing right in front of you. You've got a really good husband compared
I think you
to
said
others.
I'm better than any other man at our church.
I don't hope I didn't say that, but I probably did. I mean, I really thought I'm as good a husband in the home as I am a pastor leader in the church. And the only reason I reveal again this terrible story in our life is the next morning when I sort of sat with Jesus and prayed about that conversation, because you highlighted something that was really true. I was bringing my energy and the best of me and, like you said, passion and spiritual direction and leadership and power in some ways to thousands of people at our church that I don't even know their names. I mean, they're wonderful people, but there's so many. There were a lot. I don't literally know their name. They know mine because I'm up on the platform, but I don't know their name. And so I'm giving the best of me to people that I don't really know and giving the worst of me to the most important people in my life. And that's what I felt like Jesus alerted me to in my little bedroom office in our little house. And I felt like I needed to make a commitment back to you and the three boys at that time, now grown men, and hopefully they're doing a better job as husbands and dads than I did. But
well, did you hear the key part of that? The key part was when I spent time with Jesus the next morning.
Yeah.
What would have happened if you hadn't spent that time with him, you know?
Which there were many times I didn't, because I got defensive and mad and didn't want to hear the truth. But, you know, we've said many times, your spouse is a mirror to who you are.
Yes.
Your kids are a mirror. Your home is a mirror to who you are in your walk with God. So I felt like you were putting a mirror up just by a flipping comment. But God uses it as a mirror to say, okay, are you going to pour the best of you into the most important people of your life? Or are you going to give the best of you to strangers? And of course, we give the best to everybody. But I think that reminded me, bring the energy into your home that you bring to the public. I'm hoping somebody heard that story right now and just said, you know what? That's me. I've been giving the best of me outside the home, which is good. You need to do that. We're called to be good workmen and good workwomen. But I hope you remind yourself the most important part of who you are is who you are at home, and bring the best you have to your family.
Well, here's another quote by Tim in this article. He says, one of the elements of my life that concerns me most is my ability to be on my worst behavior around the people who are the most important to me. You would think I'd always be at my very best before the people I love the most, yet somehow I can put on airs before strangers and then let down my guard before my family. Somehow I can live to impress people I barely know. It's exactly what you said. While being apathetic toward people I know the best and whose lives are deeply intertwined with mine. There is something about the home life that can breed arrogance and apathy, entitlement and hostility. Whew. Well, and here's my failing story as I look at this and read that.
Is that last word hostility?
What do you mean? Is it hostility?
I thought maybe you were going to talk about the wall.
I am going to talk about it right now.
There's a little hostility there.
I know. So this is probably my worst parenting moment. And
I don't know. We had a lot of them.
I think the boys range from 5 to 10. And you were gone. And you were supposed to be home. And you were super late.
That never happened.
See how I'm
maybe
already.
Once or twice.
See how I'm already blaming you for it?
I should have been
terrible.
There.
But you were supposed to be home at a certain time. We had dinner without you. And then I was doing homework with our oldest and the other kids were in the other room, like wrestling, fighting, crying. Like it's just crazy in the other room. I'm trying to do spelling words with our oldest and he's incredibly distracted. He's not paying attention. He knocks something over. The kids in the family room knock something over. And now somebody's crying and screaming and I'm so frustrated and I'm mad at you. All of this is like displaced. I'm so frustrated. And I just yell like, oh my goodness. And I kick the wall with my foot and my foot goes through the drywall. That's how much passion and anger I had. And my foot is now stuck in the drywall with this big hole in the wall. The kids instantly rush to the wall.
Man, I wish we had video of this.
And they're like, oh, mom. And they're like, you kicked a hole in the wall. And it had wallpaper on it. And our youngest is like, mom, we had no idea you were this strong. And they're like, this is unbelievable. I mean, they are pumped out of their minds about it. I feel instant shame, remorse, guilt. I'm the worst mom. This is all they're going to remember as they get older. And I know in a few minutes, the pastor, my husband, will walk through the door. And this is horrible. This is so like Adam and Eve hiding in the garden. I grab this box and it's a wallpaper box and I cover it. I bet I did that in 10 minutes probably so that you wouldn't see the hole. So you walk in the door. All three boys are instantly like, Dad, you won't believe it happened. Mom is way stronger than we thought. And man, it hit me that night. From the accuser, I'm apologizing to each of the boys. You guys, that was so wrong of me when they're going to bed. I'm really sorry. And I should have never responded like that. That's not the good thing to do. Can you forgive me? I even prayed in front of them. Jesus, I'm so sorry. So I'm giving them an example. However, when I put my head down on that pillow, I am in total torment of how could a Christian mom, even a Jesus follower, kick a hole in the wall in front of her three kids. Like I am the worst at home than I am outside. And I think that began a journey. And this is the good that came out of it, if there is any good. I remember waking up the next day praying, God, I obviously can't do this apart from you. So I surrender my life to you, Romans 12:1, as a living sacrifice. I pray, God, that I would be guided by your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would give me your words, you would give me your eyes, and you give me your ears so I can represent you well. And you guys, I have to do that every single day because when I don't and I'm not in the word, it looks like that at home. Do you think that's true for you?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, is that what you would say to the mom? There's a mom listening and maybe a dad as well that has chaos going on in their home, which is parenting.
Yes.
At any stage. It doesn't change when you have teenagers. It's just a different way it happens. Yeah. And it may not even be a parent. You know, there's just things going on in your marriage or your blended family. Oh, there's a whole nother dynamic. Or you're going through a breakup of some kind or your teenager is.
You feel so much stress.
And so what do you say to that mom?
I think, first of all, we have to apologize to our kids. Like, I think that's because we're all going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. So apologize quickly. Let them see that. Let them see you praying. Even I remember saying to the boys, like, I'm in the word, God, because it changes me. And God's word has power to do that. And I love, like, when you think about the qualifications of an elder in 1 Timothy, what do you think of that?
Why are we talking about that? The point is what?
Because I look at some of those qualifications and I'm like, am I qualified in my home?
Well, it's interesting. The qualifications for an elder, which Tim mentions in this article, are not about skill. They're about character.
That's why I was going there.
And often as a parent, you think it's about skill. What skills, what things should I do so my kids turn out to be godly men and women as adults? And yeah, there are skills. There's training. There's discipline. We wrote about it in our book, No Perfect Parents. It's really about what you model. It's caught. It's not taught. It's caught. And so, you know, even when you look at 1 Timothy, it says, therefore, an overseer, a leader, an elder must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled.
Do you hear that word? Self-controlled.
Yeah. Are we done? Respectable, hospitable, able to teach. There's a skill. Mm. Not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity and keeping his children submissive. Boom.
Yeah.
I mean, who we are when no one's looking is really important. You know why? Because somebody's always looking. They're called your kids.
Good.
And your spouse are always watching. And so it's like, okay. And I think what you just said, the only way we can literally live out those character qualities is the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives.
It's interesting because we were discipled by crew in college. I'll never forget the first time I saw the Holy Spirit booklet. I don't know if that's what they call it anymore, but I remember seeing the circle of the Spirit-filled life, and it had all the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Here's those. And then on the other page, it showed another circle with all the opposites of those words.
The self-directed life.
Yes, frustration, anger, worry. And I thought, this is me. I'm the self-directed life, but I want to be the Spirit-filled life. How would you help people to do that on a daily basis, to not live in the self-directed life in our home, but in the Spirit-directed life?
You know, it's interesting. The thought that came to my mind is what's in the Holy Spirit booklet back then.
Yeah.
Spiritual breathing.
That's what I thought,
too. The simple concept of just as you exhale physically the impure.
Mm-hmm. Confession. And
physically, you exhale carbon dioxide, you inhale oxygen to breathe. There's a spiritual exhale, inhale. So exhale sin, exhale anger, exhale self-direction, and inhale the fruit of the Spirit. Again, you can't do it. You know, I think it's like hyperventilating. you gotta exhale, inhale all day long, especially as a parent, but it's putting Jesus at the very center and focus of your life. And again, I know there's a parent going, that is impossible right now. And it feels like it is. Mm. And sometimes you do need to walk out of their bedroom into the hallway and breathe.
I remember when we explained that as we came on staff with crew and we discipled other people, you did a talk on that very concept, but you had a backpack on your back. And every time you would fall short or sin or do something without confessing, you'd put that rock in your backpack. And think about that as parents and in marriage. Like, we say something we shouldn't have. We have an outburst of anger. We're so mad or frustrated. And I'm not just saying frustration's a sin. I'm saying our anger leads into sin. And so we put that on our back. And sometimes by the end of the day, if you haven't confessed or you haven't been breathing in a spiritual manner, you're going to have an explosion at some point. And I think that's what I did. Mm. I think I was having a rough day. I wasn't talking to God about it. And then I just blew up. But if I could have taken the time to say, Lord, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. I need your help. I confess I'm mad. I'm angry. And I feel out of my element. I need you right now. And then you're praying, Holy Spirit, fill me. That could be multiple times a day. It should be multiple times a day.
It's all day.
I think the end of our day, we might look a little different. And we need to teach this to our kids. Like, did we ever teach that to them?
We could ask them.
We should ask them.
Yeah. So I think that's the spiritual part. I also think there's a practical part, and that was for us, Boys Day Out.
Yes.
You need as parents to get away regularly from your kids. Don't run away. Don't leave them in the house alone. But
you're saying,
set up a date night. Seriously, make this a rhythm. And then Boys Day Out was it once a month?
Yeah.
On Fridays, I took the boys for half the day at least.
Yeah, like 4 hours.
Yeah.
But I was home alone in our home. It was amazing. I remember it felt so weird to be in our house, and that's, I wanted to be. I didn't want to be out busy, But I remember reading my Bible, cleaning the house, doing whatever I needed to do to fill me up. And man, that was a huge gift. And I think that is important, just to kind of take a breath. And I'm just going to say this. I don't care what stage of life you're in. Reading the Bible is a big deal. Having some sort of spiritual input. I'm not saying just to listen to podcasts. Not that you shouldn't listen to Family Life Today.
You should.
But to be in the Word, to be listening to it, to hear it, to have worship music, those things, that constant input, man, that changes my heart too.
Yeah, and do that with your spouse.
What about
not just alone?
Are men different? Are you any different than I am of those are the things I need to do?
Yeah, I think men need a break too.
You do?
Yeah. Let me play basketball and softball every night of the week. No, maybe once in a while. I mean, I remember standing over a golf ball when the kids were little and feeling so much guilt. Every swing, I'm like, I should be home. I should be home. I'm standing over this ball.
And you know what the worst part was? I'd say, yeah, go ahead. But then when you came home, yeah. I was like ice queen
to
you.
It took 4 hours to play a stupid game. And that's why you play 9 holes when you got little kids.
That's
you don't play
true.
18. And some guys just hate me right now.
But that refreshed you.
But it was like, you got to know what refreshes you. For you, it was take the kids away for a few hours, give you a day a month that you could look forward to. Like, that day's coming.
Yeah.
And for me, it was go compete, you know, sometimes we go to a movie with buddies, but mostly is go compete. Other people could be totally different, you know, but go on a men's retreat, get away, go on a women's retreat.
Yeah, women's retreat. Go out with your friends.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. So I guess we're trying to give you some advice from our mistakes. Don't do it the way we did it. Do it better. You can be a great model for your kids in your home.
And sometimes when we're in the midst of parenting, especially younger kids or even teenagers, we feel so overwhelmed. We might feel like we're failing. But you had an incident, which I thought was pretty cool, when you were at a men's event with one of our sons.
Yeah, actually, these guys in our church heard our youngest son, Cody, preach. And he was in college at the time and said to me, your son's on fire. We're doing a men's retreat. Could you come have dinner with us? We'd love to know what you did, because we want our kids when they're in college to be on fire like that. And then they said, and is there any chance Cody could come? Sure enough, Cody could come. So we go over this thing, just have dinner with these guys, probably about 20 guys. And they're asking questions. And then they look at Cody and say, hey, Cody, what did your dad do that helped stoke this fire for Jesus that you have right now? And I'm sitting beside him. And it was sort of funny because I thought, oh, man, he's going to talk about the devotions we did with them, or the prayer times, or the mission trip we took when he was in high school. I mean, there were strategies that we had as a family, because our dream was that our boys, when they're men, would be walking with God. And so I was thinking all these things, and he just sits there. So I'm thinking, oh, he doesn't know which one to pick. There's so many.
It is so funny. I'd be like, there's nothing. You're like, oh, there's so many.
Well, I was thinking, you know, wonder what he's going to say. We did a lot of different things and prayed to God would do this. And then he goes, well, I can only think of one thing. I'm like, what's that one thing? And he just said to the guys, he said, he lived it. If I ever needed to know what a man of God looked like, he was right down the hall. And it just hit me. This whole conversation we're having today,
yeah,
is who you are at home is who you really are. They are watching.
It matters.
They're going to catch it. Again, it's not a guarantee, but I was thinking all these skills and all these strategies and all these books I'd read about being a great Christian parent, and all that's important. But at the end of the day, it's your life.
They're not looking for perfection.
No.
They're looking for authentic life surrendered to Jesus.
Yeah. So get on your knees and ask God to do something powerful in you. And then that overflows to your kids.
Yes. It starts in surrender. You can do it. We're praying for you.
Yeah. And here's an idea. You can go to familylife.com/marriageprayers, and we will give you some sample prayers of how to pray with your spouse. I mean, a lot of times we make it complicated. We're not sure how to do it. We thought, oh, we'll help you out. We'll give you some simple sample prayers that will be catalytic to you doing this on your own. But if you need some help, familylife.com/marriageprayers, we'll help you out.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.